Welcome back to the Fast Lane alongside Chris Ronji, Brad Thompson here with you. An opening day. I mean, it's going to be here before you know it. Just over 2 weeks, March 26th in Cincinnati. The Cardinals will get things started and a lot of big decisions. Before that, we head now to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line and bring in Vice President, General Manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Michael Gersh. Gersh, how you doing today?
I'm good, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking some time. Hey, Gersh, if you don't mind, really quick, I'm going to start off the beaten path here because we've had a little bit of a disagreement on the show, and I wonder if you could shed some light on it. The Rockies, do they play in Colorado or Colorado?
Oh, God. Born and raised in Chicago. I think my Chicago accent comes out in Colorado, but I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is.
I just think that's the...
I think they play in Coors Field.
They do.
That's a safe one.
But where's Coors Field? And don't say Denver.
Denver. It's in, isn't it called like Lodo or something?
Yes.
Is there some area around it that you we could use? I don't know.
He went with the soft A though. Like, right. He went with you.
It's Colorado.
Colorado.
Almost everybody.
All right, it's fine. Look, Gersh doesn't care about that. We'll let you know though. We have a Twitter poll up. We'll let you know what wins and how to shift how you say it.
Look, I'll be waiting with bated breath for the answer to that.
I'll shoot you a message later. It'll be great. Gersh, this is one of those camps where, and I think that everybody kind of has this, but there are some tough decisions. There are some big decisions here. We look at the fifth starter. We look at the outfield situations. A couple of injuries already in Miles Michaelis, who's pushed back a few weeks. Andrew Miller kind of still feeling through what that situation looks like. But look, overall, it's a very competitive camp. I'd have to think you guys are pretty happy with where you're at right now.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, the biggest thing is avoiding major injuries. And for the most part, we've avoided anything too significant. Miles has a checkup tomorrow and hopefully he'll get good news and start throwing again and start making his way back. And Miller, we're optimistic that there's no major issue here, that he'll start working his way back as well. So, and then, you know, the young outfielders that we were trying to give an opportunity to, for the most part, they've all hit the ground running, and guys like Kim and Ponce and Gomber have all thrown well. Dakota's looked great. So yeah, it's been a good camp for the most part.
Is there anybody in camp that has sort of made you rethink maybe a timeline for them? And this can go for anybody. I'm not singling out one particular player. No, not necessarily. But is there anybody in camp that you feel that way, that maybe it's coming along quicker than you thought?
Well, I think one of the things to keep in mind is that at this point in spring training, we're talking about, you know, maybe 30 plate appearances for a guy, and you know, maybe 8 or 10 innings. So there have been guys who've looked good and then had an outing or two where you're like, we thought he'd turned a corner, and then he stubbed his toe a little bit. And there have been guys who've, you know, you go 3-for-4 one day, or you go 0-for-4 one day, and your spring training stat line changes a whole heck of a lot. So I think for the most part, you know, guys have shown up in shape, ready to go. You know, a lot of guys have made good impressions on the coaching staff, a lot of the young guys. I mean, a guy like Nolan Gorman, who's I think maybe he just turned 20, maybe he's still 19, who's more than held his own in big league camp and had a good had a great first impression on the coaching staff. I think that's definitely happened in terms of the off the field, the backfield stuff. Overreacting or reacting too much to 25 or 30 plate appearances, we have time before we need to get too excited about on-field performance.
Gersh, I know that the focus is going to be now. I mean, it's on the guys that are there and that are a part of it. But after it's been a few days, I was there in Florida over the weekend when the Jairo Munoz situation, the news came down. Is there any more clarity on kind of what happened there, or is that situation, look, he's gone and it's not ours anymore?
It's a little bit of both ways. I mean, it'd be nice to have a better understanding of what happened so that, you know, it just somewhat out of curiosity, somewhat out of making sure that we don't end up in this spot again. But, you know, at this point, it's somewhat irrelevant. We've moved on. He's moved on. If at some point somebody wants to clarify what happened for us, that'd be great. But we're not really chasing down that one anymore. At this point, we're focused on who's here and getting ready for the season.
All right, one guy that is there, and the hope is from Cardinal fans that he's going to be there for a very, very long time. And if you're looking at guys that you feel like could go out and win a Cy Young, Jack Flaherty's going to be in that conversation. News that his contract was renewed over the weekend, and that was something that happened to him last year. And certainly, I mean, Jack did a great job of explaining his stance, and it's not a problem with the Cardinals. It's more of just the system in general. But I wonder, for our listeners, Gersh, can you explain kind of the formula for 0 to 3 players and just the club's stance on that? Because I think a lot of people look at it and say, oh, he had a great year, pay him tons of money.
Yeah. So, Jack explained his position well on it in terms of just being, you know, the system is not in the benefit of young players like Jack. I mean, when you see what a guy like Gerrit Cole got this offseason, you see what a guy like Jack gets paid for one season, you can understand why Jack is frustrated and feels like he's not being treated fairly by the system. Like, that's just the way the system is set up. Almost every team at this point has some sort of formulaic way of calculating salaries for pre-arbitration players. It's just easier on everyone, frankly, that everyone knows they're being treated consistently and fairly compared to their peers. The way we do it is based on a combination of service time and performance. So the more days of service you have, the more your salary goes up, the more wins above replacement or performance you've contributed in your career, the more your pay goes up. It's a simple process, and you know, we hadn't had a renewal until a couple years ago, and now we've had Jack a couple times. Jordan took a renewal last year. This year, Jordan signed his contract. You know, it's really up to them how they want to react to it. I no hard feelings from us. It's just the process that's in place, and you know, we all live by it. Jack wanted to make a point, and I think he made his point, and we'll all move on.
Do you think the system would be better if it were altered in some way, or do you like it the way it is?
I mean, it's sort of not for me to have an opinion in some ways. It's sort of up to the union on how they choose to organize the compensation of their players. And I think whatever system is in place, our job is to play by those rules and react to those rules and adjust how we value players and adjust how we deal with our organization. But I don't think there's a better or worse. I think there's a system in place, and so we live by it.
We're talking to Vice President and General Manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Michael Gersh. And Gersh, while there is a ton of talk swarming around Dylan Carlson, and rightly so, the spring that he's having has been very impressive to everybody, you guys, us watching, everybody. I'm interested. I want to ask you about Tyler O'Neill, because he's another guy where I feel like if you just give him reps, if he's able to go out there day in and day out, I think he could do some special things. We know that there are projections for everything. You have an idea of what a player is going to be given those reps. What do the projections say about Tyler O'Neill?
Well, I think anyone who's watched him play understands he's got somewhat of a unique combination of skills. He obviously has tremendous power, and all we would expect, I think anyone who, you know, if you give him playing time, he will hit home runs because he hits the ball as hard as, you know, most anybody in baseball. That comes with a high strikeout rate, which is not uncommon for a power hitter. He has walked in the minor leagues all throughout his career. He's had reasonably high walk rates, you know, average slightly above. This spring he's walking. In the short stints he's had with us in the big leagues, he hasn't walked much. So it'd be nice to see him become a little more patient, a little more selective at the plate. And then he strangely is one of the fastest guys on the field, which, when you picture the high strikeout, high home run guy, you don't picture a guy, and you look at Tyler and his physique, you don't expect him to be able to run the way he does. But he can run the bases, steal bases, play good left field. So we're excited about the package. It's likely to be a high power, a good defense, hopefully a decent on base percentage, and it's going to come with some strikeouts. But that's sort of the nature of the game these days.
You mentioned the strikeouts for him, and as he's gotten to the big leagues, the number for that, the percentage for that has been a lot higher. Is there, other than just the pitching being better in general when you get to the big leagues, is there a specific reason you can pinpoint why it's gone that way for him?
Well, I think when Tyler's had like consistent playing time for a stretch, he's actually gotten his strikeout rate down. I think when he has been used as a pinch hitter, when his playing time is sort of in and out of the lineup, and and sort of spotty is when he's really pressed and tried to, you know, hit the 5-run homer and you know, show everyone that he belongs. And we're hopeful that as he gets more, you know, extended playing time this year, gets more runway, that he'll settle in a little bit. And again, obviously getting a strikeout rate down would be fantastic, but even if he's able to do that, he's probably going to be more strikeout prone than, you know, the average player. But the trade-off for a guy who can hit the ball as hard and as far as he can is worth it.
Gersh, last we talked on air with you was before spring started, and we got into like the analytics conversation. You did a great job of just kind of informing us a little bit more of stuff that we hear but really don't understand. I'm interested in camp in general. Can you give us a little bit of a look behind the scenes in the kind of tech that is there this year that maybe wasn't around the last couple of years? I know Paul DeJong has talked about, you know, working with Jeff Albert and using different equipment. What kind of technology is available for these guys?
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're doing this year was available last year, but last year was the first time we were rolling it out. Like in spring training last year is when we were first starting to use high speed cameras and blast motion bat trackers and portable TrackMan units and the like. And because of that, last year it was sort of everyone was learning together. The players were learning about it, but so were the coaches who were using it and the people, the support people who were setting it up. We were all sort of on the same learning curve together. Whereas this year, we're able to set things up, have it ready to go, have the players understand what is being measured and what they should be focusing on. One of the challenges is that we can collect enormous amounts of data, but not every player should be looking at all that data. Some players should be focused on, you know, one or two data points about their release point or their extension or their bat path or whatever it might be. And so we're trying to provide that information in a way that each player can work on what they need to work on in the batting cage or in their bullpens. And then when they go out in the field, they don't have to worry about it. Like they've practiced the swing, they've practiced getting their hands in the right slot. And when they go out to the field, they're no longer thinking about, you know, what my on-plane percentage is or whatever. They're thinking about, you know, just getting the job done.
Maybe this is a two-part question here, but one, in using that sort of technology that you have now, it's different for veteran players who've been doing a certain thing a certain way for a long time, and then getting them to be used to using this technology. I'm wondering how the buy-in for that is. And furthermore, when it comes to guys like Matt Carpenter and like Dexter Fowler, how do you know or how do you assess what's happening in the spring for each of those players and what it might project for the regular season for them?
Yeah, so, I mean, to be honest, our veterans, for the most part, have been as into the different technology that we can provide as anybody. I mean, guys like Goldschmidt and Carpenter really like using this stuff. I mean, I think that some of the veteran guys love the fact that for the first time in their career, they can put a number on something they've been trying to improve or trying to measure or been told to work on, you know, for the last 10 years, right? And they can actually see, or they can capture it in video and see what they've been told, you know, you have a hitch here or your hands are too high or whatever, and they can't feel it, but with high-speed video, they can see what we're talking about. So we've had really no issues with buy-in that are any way like kind of correlated with experience or age or anything. It's, you know, it's kind of across the board. People have been interested in it, and, you know, some people feel like it targets their needs more than others, but it hasn't been. I mean, again, when Goldie's leading the charge, you know, everyone else sort of sees what he's doing and you know, follows suit. In terms of evaluating players in the spring, again, if you think about the number of plate appearances we're talking about, it's like 1 week of a regular season, right? It's 25 plate appearances. If someone has a tough week, we don't banish them to Memphis. We don't release them. We don't overreact, generally speaking. We try to look at, you know, underlying metrics, how they're hitting the ball, how their swing looks, you know, how their at-bats, if they're taking competitive at-bats and the like. So I think, you know, obviously we'd prefer everyone to hit the ground running the first day of spring training, but the more important thing is that people are ready to hit the ground running when we get to Cincinnati in a couple of weeks. And so as we get closer to the end of spring training, performance starts mattering more and more because there's no longer tracking pitches or working on something or going deep into counts because you just want to track as many pitches as you can before you swing. It becomes much more about being ready to go.
Well, 16 days before that opener in Cincinnati, certainly a lot of work left to do in Jupiter, Florida, but we're looking forward to it. Gersh, I really appreciate the time today. And by the way, before we let you go, I want you to know that Colorado, instead of Colorado, has 72.3% of the vote so far on Twitter. So you are in the majority the way that you said it.
That's good to know, and I'm impressed you guys got enough people voting that you have decimal points on percentages.
You
that's
like
right.
that?
We have a lot of people interested.
Yeah. No big deal. No pressure. We should have told you that before. A lot of people listen to this stuff, Gersh.
He understands percentages.
Gersh, thank you so much, man. I appreciate the time today.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
That is your Vice President, General Manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Michael Gersh. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what Gersh was talking about. I'm really interested in the tech stuff. I'm interested in tech and camp. I'm interested in Tyler O'Neill projections. One of the most interesting parts to me, honestly, is, Raj, what you were asking about, the veterans and how they consume that. Because old dogs, new tricks. We know how that goes, right? Apparently, these dogs want to learn. We're going to talk about that next on 101 ESPN.